This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up, Micro is yet another bestseller by Michael Crichton, only this one was published 3 years after his death. We'll talk to the man who finished the text left behind by Crichton, the author of Jurassic Park and ER, and one man's heroic attempt to build a toaster completely from scratch. But first, sales have been brisk for guns this holiday season. Black Friday 2011 surpassed the single-day record for FBI background check requests on gun customers by 32%. Today, we're taking a look at what's behind the Freedom Group, which has swiftly become one of the world's leading manufacturers and sellers of guns. Natasha Singer, a reporter in the Sunday business section of the New York Times, investigated the shadowy Wall Street investment company that has quietly acquired some of America's most venerable gun and ammo manufacturers. And she joins us with what she found out about the Freedom Group. Natasha, great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Virginia.
The Freedom Group's website, I went there today and read its claim that it's the largest manufacturer of commercial firearms and ammo, though I had never heard of it, and apparently I'm not alone. How much inventory does it control?
Well, it's the largest domestic commercial manufacturer of guns and ammunition, and it controls about a third of the ammunition market and about a third of the gun market. And when you break down the guns, that's about a third of the traditional shotgun market and more, maybe 45% or more of the rifles, including semi-automatic rifles, those sort of big, dark, powerful weapons.
And its rise has been so stealthy that people have been speculating about who owns it. Even the financier George Soros was behind it. Could you set the record straight for us?
Well, for people who own firearms and who own guns from famous brands like Remington or Marlin or Dakota, which is a maker of really upscale big game safari rifles, suddenly this group they never heard of comes out of nowhere and buys the brands they know. And so there was a lot of gossip about what does this mean that this group we never heard of, the Freedom Group, which is owned by a Wall Street private investment firm called Cerberus, what is this really about? And so there was this whole rumor that started that it was really George Soros, who is a known sort of anti-gun person, mm-hmm. who was secretly going up and buying these brands because he wants to shut down the consumer gun market, and maybe George Soros would jack up the prices so high that ordinary people couldn't afford guns, or maybe he would close down these gun makers. And the rumors got so loud, particularly on gun blogs, that the National Rifle Association had to issue a press release last month saying, you know, these rumors are false. George Soros does not own the Freedom Group. He's not an investor in Cerberus. And we know the people who do own this company, and they are, you know, behind the Second Amendment, the right to own guns, and they themselves are avid shooters and hunters. But the notion that this rumor got so loud that even the NRA had to come out and deny it indicates how mysterious this company is, even for people who own firearms.
Cerberus Capital Management is behind the Freedom Group. So why so mysterious? Why is this part of their strategy?
Well, I think there's two things going on. One is, you know, if we talk about a completely other kind of consumer product, cosmetics, when you walk into Bloomingdale's, you see all these different brands, right? You see Estee Lauder, you mm-hmm. see Clinique, you see Bobbi Brown, you see MAC, you see this hair care brand, Bumble and Bumble, you see Aveda, you see Origins, and you think, look, they're all these different brands. But actually, all of those brands are owned by Estee Lauder. And they don't market it, oh, here's another Estee Lauder brand, because you wouldn't buy it if you knew that the 10 things you wanted to buy at Macy's and Bloomingdale's were all owned by the same company. So in a way, they become their own competitors. You know, Clinique and Estee Lauder are the number one and number two brands in department stores in cosmetics, and they're competing against themselves, which means they get more market share. So if you were buying major gun makers in the United States, you might have the same idea, which is we don't want to market them together. We want to market them as competing brands so that people will buy lots of our products. It makes sense from a retail intelligence point of view, and it makes sense from a business point of view because the firearms industry is very fragmented, and if you are a private equity firm and you're looking at this market and you're thinking to yourself, well, I can create efficiencies and save money by buying all these brands, and you can combine the marketing. So There are, major gun retailers in the United States, like Walmart, or another one is Cabela's, which you might know because it's in Scarborough, Maine.
Yeah.
And so if you own 12 different guns and ammunition and tactical clothing brands, and you can be a one-stop wholesaler for those retailers, that's actually much more efficient also for the sporting goods department stores that want to buy from you. So, you know, it does make logical sense. It's just that it happens to be that Cerberus behaves in a very quiet manner anyway. It's a very closed-mouthed firm. They tend to speak to the press never or very rarely. And so their own internal secretiveness, combined with the fact that they're buying into an industry where people are wary of government control and outsiders, created this sort of grassy knoll conspiracies.
We're talking with Natasha Singer about her investigation for the New York Times. She wrote about this enigmatic entity called the Freedom Group, which has amassed a stockpile of weapons and ammo, swiftly acquiring some of the country's largest and most well-known gun manufacturers. Natasha, did you speak to anyone at Cerberus for your investigation?
Well, first I called the Freedom Group, which is in North Carolina. They're headquartered at the Remington headquarters, and asked to interview their executives, and they said no. And then I contacted Cerberus, and they said they wouldn't comment because normally it is the portfolio companies that comment. So we were able to do the story because the Freedom Group registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission to go public. And in the process of doing that, they filed, 400-page prospectuses describing everything they bought and how much they paid for them, and, what their business was like. So, for example, in the year that ended March 2010, they said that they had produced and sold 1.2 million long guns, which means shotguns and rifles, and 2.6 billion rounds of ammunition. So you could get a sense of how big they were from their own documents, and they do, on their own website, the Freedom Group, post their own quarterly earnings reports. So we could see what was happening. And the thing that's interesting to me is many private investment firms would shy away from the gun market because it's very, very volatile. It's, first of all, there are tragedies and violent events like the shooting in Tucson in January of Representative Gabrielle Giffords, and we have these, last month somebody took pot shots at the White House with a semi-automatic weapon. And so that causes people to be concerned about the gun industry and want more regulation. And so then that's another problem if you're a gun maker because, is Congress going to pass a law that restricts what you can sell or who you can sell it to? And so many firms would shy away from buying up gun firms. And so, in fact, Cerberus, which is basically agnostic about what they invest in, they own restaurant groups, they own aviation, they own a restaurant group that's the second largest franchisee of Burger King, they bought a hospital group in Boston called Caritas Christi. They are looking to invest in undervalued companies. They're not looking to invest in things that are wildly successful. They're looking to invest in things that have debt or have other operational problems, and then they send in their own experts to turn around the companies and make them operate better, and that's how they make money. And so they looked at this market and said, nobody else is doing this. They could buy these companies for much less money because they had no competition out there buying these companies. They obviously hope that they can make the gun market grow. What's really interesting is we think a lot about guns because they are in the news so much and because there's so much publicity, but actually, in terms of sales, the National Shooting Sports Foundation estimates that Americans spend maybe $4 billion a year on guns and ammo, and that's actually very small when you think about the noise that we hear all the time about the right to own arms, or if you look at Congress, they passed a bill of the House last month about the right to carry concealed weapons.
Right, handguns, though.
Right, handguns. That people, that states that allow concealed carry permits should recognize other states' permits. And also, Gallup did a poll in October, and they surveyed only 1,000 people. But what they saw was that the percentage of people saying that they own a firearm either themselves or there's one on their property was 47%, which is the highest level of self-reported gun ownership since 1993. And they also saw that 43% of respondents said they supported stricter gun laws, which is an all-time low since Gallup started asking this question 20 years ago. So it's a moment where perhaps because of the economic situation and people fear that there'll be riots like they've seen in Europe, where in fact more people are buying handguns and more people feel that they should have the right to carry them from state to state. So, you know, on one hand, you could say it's a volatile business to be in for a Wall Street investment firm. On the other hand, you could say that considering the political climate, which has become more libertarian, it's the right moment for them to try to grow this market.
Well, a thorough investigation, and I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much, Natasha.
Thanks so much, Virginia. Take care.
Natasha Singer, reporter in the Sunday Business section of the New York Times. You'll find links to her article about the Freedom Group, the Freedom Group's website, and much more at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also track our absolutely open acquisition of ideas on Facebook and on Twitter. Now, coming up, here's a far less ambitious project. One man, one quest, a lot of raw materials, and finally, a $1,700 toaster. We'll hear about it when Word of Mouth returns on New Hampshire Public Radio.